is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Jim Saras from the Saras Skills Academy, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. It is time for our weekly NBA pod. We kind of missed the trade deadline, so we're going to definitely jump in and talk some trade deadline tonight, Jay. But we also just want to let you know of some of the exciting things that we have coming up on both the Hoopheads pod and the Hoopheads pod network. So this week, tomorrow night, we're having a couple interviews with Coach Danny Young from Shaker Heights High School right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And we're also going to talk to the new coach of the University of Albany, Dwayne Killings, who's been on with us, former assistant at Marquette. So Dwayne's going to jump on tomorrow night, and those episodes will be going up hopefully on Friday and then Monday. So a couple of great interviews to look forward to. We also have Greg White, his Four Quarters episode that we recorded last week. So some really good content coming up on the Hoopheads pod. If you haven't had a chance to check out Lakers Fast Break, that is the latest addition to the Hoopheads pod network. So please check that out. We now have the Lakers covered from every angle between LA Hoops.
You would almost say Lakers. That they're running a triangle, just like when Phil Jackson was the coach.
That's correct. That is correct. So we've got the Lakers triangle covered without question. So a lot of exciting things coming on. Want to just say thanks to our longtime sponsors. I know we always play their ad reads, but just want to give a shout out to each one of the sponsors, beginning with Dr. Dish, who has been with us from the very beginning. We also have Arise and Fast Model. And our last sponsor is SnapRaise. So we are going to just give all of them a quick shout out and thanks for supporting the Hoopheads pod. All right, Jay, is it time for the quiz?
It's time for the quiz, Mike. And hopefully you do better on the quiz than we do on NCAA basketball. So we'll just leave it at that. All right.
The first you just told me you have your whole Final Four potentially still alive.
Well, if Michigan pulls this game off, which they're down 3 right now with like 10 minutes left in the game, so I got a chance, but
is Ohio State still in it?
They are not, Mike. They lost to Oral Roberts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Illinois still in it?
No.
I think I had them in the Final Four.
Yeah, you did. You had Gonzaga in the Final Four. They're in the Final Four.
And I had one more Big Ten team. Which other?
Michigan.
I think I had Michigan. So I could potentially have two of the four Final Four teams.
You would be right on par with a lot of people whose brackets I've been grading, Mike.
That's pretty solid.
On the left side of the bracket were pretty good. On the right side of the bracket was pretty disastrous. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with this game.
But nobody's beaten Gonzaga.
I'm hoping Michigan does, Mike.
Man, Gonzaga has looked really good. I mean, I've watched a couple of their games, bits and pieces of others, and they just look far and away like the class of the field. I'll be stunned if they lose in the Final Four based on what I've seen.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. So, first starter, Mike. Now, I told Mike before this, so, and he okayed it. I have to start getting to the weeds a little bit with picking people who have played, because I've used a lot of the guys that have played like five games. So a few of these guys have only started like two or three games. So I just wanted to be clear with Mike before. So I did tell him ahead of time, and he okayed me doing this. So here we go. Now, the first one's a guy I've heard of. The other two are not. But right.
My goal tonight is just not to take the collar based on that description right there. I'm just hoping not to go 0-3.
Okay, well, the first guy I've heard of, Mike, the first guy I have in fact heard of.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have been able to tell you what team he was on, but I knew, and I'll give you a little hint. He's a former Big Ten player, so that's the only reason I knew his name. Okay.
Okay. All right. I don't know if that'll help me.
Jake Lehman.
Jake Lehman, I believe he played at Michigan. Is that correct?
No, he's a little more east than that.
A little more east. Jake Lehman. All right. Well, since I have no idea what college he played for, I'm guessing I probably am going to have no idea what NBA team he played for. So let's just go through and see if anything jogs my memory here as I think about Jake Lehman. For some reason, I feel like I've heard his name on a podcast in the recent, let's say, weeks. Jake Lehman. We're going to go ahead and say that Jake Lehman, I'm going to say he plays for an Eastern Conference team. Is that correct?
That would be incorrect.
Oh, well, that doesn't really help me. Okay. Jake Lehman, he has to be on the, well, I'd say he's probably on the Dallas Mavericks.
No, he's on the Minnesota Timberwolves, Mike.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Well, okay.
All right.
All right. That was my easy one.
In my opinion, that was probably the easiest of the three, but we'll see.
All right. Here
next
we go.
The next guy you might know because you're, well, I won't say anything else. We'll see. You might know this one.
Okay.
Tremont Waters.
I believe I have one of his jazz albums, Tremont Waters. He definitely sounds like a jazz artist. So I know he doesn't play for the Utah Jazz, but I'm guessing it's Sacramento because of the way you were phrasing the question. But I'll go with Sacramento.
No, the correct answer, and the only reason I would have thought you had a chance on this is because you're a huge Simmons fan. He is a Bostonian Celtic.
All right.
All right,
what's his name again?
Tremont Waters.
Tremont Waters. I am definitely going to write to Tremont and tell him he needs to put out a jazz album because I would buy that in a second.
Well,
I don't know if I want to watch him play basketball.
Okay, using that knowledge, using jazz, can you guess what college he went to?
Tulane.
No, you're close.
University of New Orleans.
Nope, you're still close though.
LSU.
It is LSU.
All right. Well, hey.
So, all right. And the last one, Mike. This guy I definitely have never heard of. And
you heard of what's the guy's name? Tremont Waters. You've heard Tremont of Tremont Waters?
Yeah, I've heard him say Waters because Simmons complained about why were they starting him? He started two games. Okay, this guy. I'll give you a hint. It's an Eastern Conference team. I'm going to give you that hint on this one.
Okay.
He's got the most generic name I've ever heard in the line. It's not John Smith, but it's close. Okay. Isaiah Joe.
Isaiah Joe. He is from the University of Arkansas.
That is correct. Ooh, look at you. How did you know that?
I don't know. I don't know why or how I know that, but I do know
was
that.
Was he a front guard at Star Trek?
He might have been. He very well could have been. Let's see, Isaiah Joe.
Mike,
what
I
team does Isaiah?
Even if you get the collar on this, Mike, you knew that Isaiah Joe went to Arkansas, and that's impressive. So I would give you partial credit on that.
You're going to give me a half. All right, at least I get a half a point. So I can go 0.5 for three. Isaiah Joe, I'm going to say he is a member of the. Let's see. It has to be a team. I'm guessing he was a late first round, early second round pick. I'm going to say Isaiah Joe is suiting up for the Miami Heat.
Okay, you had the right idea with the picks, Mike. He is a member of the Philadelphia 76ers.
All right. Isaiah Joe.
But I am so impressed that you knew he went to Arkansas.
I knew that without hesitation too.
Was he mentioned in the Arkansas game yesterday? Did you watch the Arkansas game yesterday?
No, and I did watch a little bit of the Arkansas game, but that he was not mentioned at all. The only reason I know that is because for some reason I remember reading about him leading up to, I think, is he a rookie or a second year player?
I think he's a second year player.
So anyway, I remember reading about him leading up into the draft because he was a guy that was a sleeper that they thought might end up actually being a good player. So congratulations to Isaiah Joe for that.
Oh, he is a rookie. He's played in 23 games and he started one of them, Mike.
Okay. So University of Arkansas, Isaiah Joe.
Congrats. That was
good. He does not have the name recognition of Tremont Waters. Jazz musician to the stars.
All right. On that note, we're going to dive into the trade deadline, Mike. Needless to say, Tremont Waters, Isaiah Joe, and Jake Layman were not coveted players.
They were not major players in the trade deadline.
They were not major players in the trade deadline. So I think the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to kind of go in the order that they happened, but at the same time, I might just look at specific teams. I think that's probably the easiest way to start. So we're going to start with the Magic because they had a fire sale, Mike. I sent an image of Oprah Winfrey saying, "You get a car, you get a car, you get a car." I kind of felt like that's what Orlando Magic were saying. And I don't necessarily know that they're cars, but I think the biggest trade that Magic made, in my opinion, was the Aaron Gordon trade to the Nuggets. The Magic got Gary Harris and RJ Hampton back. The Nuggets got Gary Clark and Aaron Gordon. And Magic also got future first-round picks, but those are going to be late-round picks, and I don't think they're for a while anyways. Aaron Gordon traded to the Nuggets. I think this is probably, in my opinion, the trade that has the potential to make the biggest impact. Do you agree or disagree?
I honestly think it's really the only trade from the trade deadline that has a real major impact on who might win the title. And there's only a couple other ones that you could maybe argue. Maybe you can argue the Sixers getting George Hill as a point guard makes them slightly better because now you can move Ben Simmons around and you have another veteran that can get out there. And we know George Hill can make threes. Wish he could make free throws in clutch moments. So does J.R. Smith.
So does LeBron's wrist.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, so I guess that one maybe could have a little bit of an impact. And then maybe depending on what you think of Oladipo and depending on what you think of the currently eighth seeded Miami Heat's chances of getting back to the finals. But I do think that this Aaron Gordon trade for the Nuggets makes them significantly better. Again, we could make the argument here that theoretical Aaron Gordon is the guy that pushes Denver to maybe to some heights that they couldn't have reached before. And maybe the real Aaron Gordon isn't going to get them. Maybe he's just not as good as what you think he might be. But in theory, what he does well, meaning he can play multiple positions on defense and he can guard lots of different spots. So he makes you more switchable. He gives you a guy who they just didn't have previously. Even I think you'd probably say that Aaron Gordon is a more physical defender and a better athlete than Jeremy Grant last year. So now you have a guy that can at least bang bodies with LeBron and Kawhi and these other apex wings. And so he makes him better in that respect. And then offensively, you now have between Jokic, Murray, Michael Porter Jr., who is continuing to keep playing better. And then you throw Aaron Gordon out there where he's now at worst, he's your fourth option. And if he buys into that role, I think he makes Denver significantly more dangerous and significantly more likely to get out of the West, especially the way things are stacking up. Because if Utah and Phoenix finish 1-2, which I think it seems pretty likely at this point that that's going to happen, I don't think those are the two best teams in the West. Certainly if LeBron and AD are healthy, I think I would make the argument that Denver, the Lakers, and the Clippers are all in a playoff series better than Utah and Phoenix. I don't know. I think Denver, if they get the version of Aaron Gordon who buys into the role that they need him to play, I think he can play that role almost perfectly alongside the guys that they already have. And that makes them a really, really dangerous team. Yep. To win the Western Conference. I really think that this pushes them to another level.
I agree. As long as you're getting an Aaron Gordon that's focused on what matters, because did you see what number he chose?
Right, he chose 50. I get it.
He needs to stop whining and just play basketball. Because quite frankly, Mike, if I was to put Aaron Gordon's stats against Zach LaVine's stats, they're basically the same player, and they've neither of them have won anything. So let's... Aaron, put your money where your mouth is, in my opinion.
Well, you can make the case that Zach LaVine, and we could talk about that in a little bit when we talk about the Bulls. I mean, Zach LaVine has certainly progressed further in his career as an individual player than Aaron Gordon has. I think what Aaron Gordon has an opportunity to do here is to come to the realization that he's not ever going to be the man on a good team. And here he has an opportunity to showcase the skills that he does have in a way that can maximize his value to a good team. And if he buys into that, I think it's a slam dunk win of this trade for Denver. And I think that, like I said, it takes them one step closer to winning the Western Conference, just depending upon, obviously, the health of the Lakers and some other things. But, man, I think you put playoff Murray with the guy that Jokic has always been, and Michael Porter Jr. continues to play better each and every night he goes out there. And then you throw Aaron Gordon into this mix, and they look, I mean, that's a pretty good top four.
Yep. All right. The next trade the Magic made, Evan Fournier to the Celtics. They get Jeff Teague, who got waived and then went to the Milwaukee Bucks, and two future second round picks. I think Jeff Teague, by the way, was going to be one of my picks, Mike. I was going to say, how many games did Jeff Teague start for the Celtics before he was traded? That was one of my questions I was going to ask. It actually is five. But
okay.
So Teague gets waived by the Magic, and he ends up signing with Milwaukee, back with Bud again. So that should be exciting. Be like
2016 all over again.
2016 all again, except maybe they'll actually have a chance to win some games in the playoffs, but we'll see. Anyways, I don't think this move moves the needle, and if you saw Evan Fournier's debut yesterday as a Celtic, 0-10, you know, he did hit a game winner against the Suns right before the day before he got traded, so that was pretty impressive. I don't know if that was what won over, and congrats to Fournier for getting out of Orlando. Because that was a dumpster fire. But I don't think this trade moves anything. If anything, this solidifies the Celtics in the four spot. But that would be the best thing that I would say for this trade. Do you agree or disagree with me on that one?
I mean, at this point, do we consider the Celtics anything more than maybe they get to the second round? I mean, they're not going any further than that based on what I've seen. Kemba Walker still is a shell of himself. And
Mike, I'm pretty sure you could play defense better than Kemba Walker's playing. Come on.
I don't know. I just don't know what this team is. You know, you think about, they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals three out of the last 4 years, and yet I look at their team and I still think, oh, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're still really young. But they've been there three out of the last 4 years. It just feels like this team is scuffling, and I don't know. They're just—I don't look at them in any way, shape, or form as a legitimate threat to win even a first-round series, unless they can get into that 4-5 matchup. The 4-5 matchup in the East is probably going to be a toss-up, unless Miami gets everything together and Oladipo turns out to be 90% of the 2018 version of Victor Oladipo. I think Miami is the only team. We talked about it last week. I think Miami is the only team in that sort of morass of middle Eastern Conference teams that even has a remote shot of climbing up into that top four. I mean, right now, Charlotte's the number four team, and you're talking Charlotte without LaMelo. And your lock playoff team, the New York Knicks, is sitting there at number five. So
there's They're a lock, Mike. They're a lock. They're in the playoffs.
You're probably right. If you want to win a first round series in the East, and you're not one of those top three teams, you better get to number four or number five. Then you have a chance to advance to the second round. If you're falling in the six, seven, or eight spot, you're not winning that first round. None of those teams are winning that first round series. Nobody in those spots is beating Philly, Brooklyn, or Milwaukee in the first round. It's just not it's not happening. So
I agree.
You got to get to the four or five slot if you want to win a first round series, if you're any other team in the East.
Yeah, I completely agree, because you're not going to beat the top three. And I'm doubling down, Mike. The Brooklyn Nets are going to win the Eastern Conference this year. I don't see how they don't. I'm saying it now. We'll get it. Maybe we'll talk about them in a little bit, but I don't see how they don't. All right, I'm not gonna let
you want me to answer that.
I'm not gonna let you respond. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll let you.
I mean, Durant. What's going on with Durant?
Here's the question, Mike.
Okay.
Do they need Durant to win the Eastern Conference?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay, who's carrying you in Game 7?
Kyrie and the new and improved James Harden.
Okay, whatever, man. Whatever. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Hopefully Kyrie's going to average 35 a game in the Eastern Conference Finals if you want to win that, because I'm telling you, as I've told you many times, if the answer to the question is James Harden, then the question that you're asking is not, can the Brooklyn Nets win the NBA Finals? If James Harden is the answer that you're giving me, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Okay.
So
all right.
You need a healthy Durant, and the longer he's out, the more dubious I am that he's going to come back at any kind of a level.
I just want to remind you 2 years ago when you said the Raptors had no chance.
Look, I've been wrong before. Look, I'm wrong all the time. Anybody –
Ohio State, Illinois.
I hope you're not betting on my basketball knowledge that I'm sharing here on the podcast, but I'm telling you, I don't think they can win without him. And I'm starting to get, as I said last week, I'm starting to get nervous that what's going on with his lower body? What's going on with his legs? What's going on? Did he have to compensate for the Achilles? And now that's throwing off and his hamstring and all these other issues that he's having. I don't know. I'd be worried if I was Brooklyn, and not only worried that Durant's not going to play, but then worried that that puts more of a burden on James Harden, the self-proclaimed MVP of the league, which isn't happening either. So,
okay. All right. The last play the Magic made is Vucevic traded to the Bulls. He also traded Aminu to the Bulls, and Wendell Carter, Otto Porter Jr., and two future first-round picks went back to the Magic. So, once again, I think the Bulls are struggling to decide whether they're going to make the playoffs or not. I mean, is the Vucevic trade going to throw them over the top to guaranteeing them a play-in game? Maybe. I don't know.
It should.
It should, theoretically. Theoretical. Should. But, Vucevic is a really good player. He's an all-star player. He's really good. But the question that I have is, like, is this trade going to really matter in the grand scheme of things? Because even if they do make the play-in game, okay, they make the play-in game, like, is anyone going to say, oh, yeah, the Chicago Bulls, I'm really scared of them? The answer to that question is no, right? What team is afraid of Chicago?
No team is afraid of Chicago. I mean, that's the reality. I think if you're Chicago, what you are banking on is that Zach LaVine has taken a leap, and that he truly is a guy who can go toe-to-toe with some of the best players when push comes to shove in the playoffs. Now, has he proven that at all in the playoffs? No. Has he proven it to some degree in the regular season? Yes.
He's proven it in overtime in the dunk contest.
Yeah. Do you need Zach LaVine? If you're Boston, do you need him to get to another level?
You mean Chicago?
Yeah. What did I say?
Boston.
Okay. So I don't know why I was saying Boston. If you need Chicago, you need Zach LaVine. If you're Chicago, you need Zach LaVine to take it from being a great regular season player. You need him to be just as good in the playoffs as he's been in this regular season. And if he is, then Chicago could be a tough out. I still don't think they're winning a first round series like I talked about earlier, but they could potentially be a tough out. Where I kind of look at this and I say, it depends a little bit on your philosophy of what you're trying to do with your team. Is Zach LaVine and Vucevic, is that the core of a team that can win an NBA title in 2021, 2022, 2023?
The answer is no.
Correct. Correct. You would be, if those guys are your number two and your number three, are they good enough to win an NBA title?
I mean,
with their struggles defensively.
No.
Are those two guys good enough?
No.
Right. I think that's the answer.
I mean, unless LeBron's on your team, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, maybe you give them the best player in the league, and they're your second and third guy.
But if Giannis can't even do it with – if Giannis can't do it with Drew and Holiday and his current roster, then he can't do it with these guys. Sorry.
Right. I agree. So it becomes, what is your philosophy as a front office, as an organization, of what you're trying to do? Does this make the Bulls a better team? Yes. Does it probably guarantee that they're going to at least be in the play-in game? Yes. So if that's what you're trying to accomplish, then I'd say you did a good job of accomplishing it. The question is, are you sacrificing the ability to potentially build a championship caliber roster in order to have a roster that is probably topping out in the middle seeds as an Eastern Conference team? Maybe they think Patrick Williams, who's 19 years old, is going to be that guy. Probably unlikely that he's going to become a super duper star, because most super duper stars come into the league and you can tell they're going to be super duper stars. And Patrick Williams, although he's looked good, I don't think anybody's looking at him and going, oh my God, this guy's the next LeBron or the next Kobe. Nobody's saying that about him. They're saying he looks like he could be a good player. So I think it just depends on that, on what your front office philosophy is. And it seems like the Bulls have kind of doubled down on, hey, we want to be competitive, we want to be good, but we're not – this team, this roster is not going to win a championship in the next 3 years the way it's constructed. And when you trade away two first-round picks, that's sort of your capital to be able to go after somebody else. And look, I like Vucevic, but defensively, I don't know that you're building a top-10 defense, a top-5 defense around him. And offensively, he's really good. And LaVine, same thing. He's really taking a leap this year as an offensive player. And if he sustains that in the playoffs, then maybe they're feisty in the first round against one of those good teams. But they're not winning one of those series. They're just not.
All right. The next one.
So what does this leave Orlando? Like, we talked about it from the other team's
perspective. They're terrible. They're completely rebuilding.
Is that the right move? So we just sort of castigated Chicago for throwing all their chips in to end up being a 4, 5, 6, 7 seed over the next 2, 3 years. Is it better to go the Orlando route? Say we're building around two guys who have had semi-catastrophic injuries who are young.
Multiple times.
And right. And now we've got some draft picks potentially that we can use to try to find the guy. And I think that's what it comes down to. Look, especially when you're not a glamour franchise, the only way to become a truly legitimate NBA title contender, if you are not one of the marquee teams, is to draft a superstar. That's the only way. You're not getting a guy through free agency. If you get a guy through a trade, chances are that guy has to have some kind of damage to him if he's going to agree to be traded to a mid-level market. And I just think the only way you can do it, if you're not in one of the major markets, is through the draft. And the more draft picks you accumulate, the more chances you have to take a swing and see if you can find that guy. It's kind of like in the NFL. You got to have a quarterback. You can have the greatest team in the world, and if you don't have a quarterback, none of it matters. Unless you have a historically great defense in the NFL, you're not winning with a mediocre quarterback. And in the NBA, you're not winning an NBA title without one of the top five players in the league. You're just not. And it's been proven year after year after year after year. And so could you say that maybe Orlando could have gotten more for some of these guys? Maybe. But what were they doing with the roster that they had before? Nothing. They were terrible with those guys. They're going to be slightly more terrible this year or the rest of the year. So that's going to give them maybe slightly better odds in the upcoming lottery. So who knows?
I think the only team that I can think of that won an NBA championship without one of the top five players in the NBA was the Mavericks in 2011.
But Dirk is historically, at that moment in time, he probably was not a top five player in the league. But at some point in his career, he was. And if you look at the totality of his career, he certainly is probably a top 25 player in the history of the league. The other team I would think of is the Pistons with
2004 Pistons.
Yeah, the Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups. I mean, that's the other group.
But Ben Wallace was probably a top five defender. At one point, he won Defensive Player of the Year multiple times, right?
But not one of the, they didn't have one of the top five players in the league for sure. But conversely, that just like the NFL, they had a historically great defense. I mean, they were very, very good. So let's put it this way. It's very difficult to win an NBA title if you don't have one of the five best players in the league. And the only way to get that player if you're in a mid-major market is through the draft. You're not getting them through free agency, and it's more than likely you're not getting them through a trade, because even if you do get them through a trade, they're probably not going to want to stick around. Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
We're going to talk about one more trade, and then if there's any other ones that I'm missing that you think we should talk about. The Blazers traded away Gary Trent Jr. and theoretical Rodney Hood to the Raptors for Norman Powell. Obviously, Norman Powell, corner threes. You know he's leading the league in corner three shooting percentage, Mike. Did you know that? I wouldn't have known
that.
I did not know that. Going in, before the trade, he was shooting like 47% from the corner threes. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty good percent. So that's good because I find it interesting. I saw a lot of people saying that they thought this made the Blazers for sure better. I don't know. I thought Gary Trent Jr. was pretty good. Did you know that Gary Trent Jr. was traded from the Raptors in the same amount of games that his dad was traded?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, from the Blazers. That's pretty crazy.
They were both averaging 10 points a game. It's whatever their third season, and they were traded 41 games.
It's like
the
Kennedy-Lincoln connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so exactly. Anyways, so I don't know if this makes the teams any better. I think this might make the Blazers better, but neither of these teams are going anywhere, so...
It makes the Blazers slightly better. I think Norm Powell is a little bit more of a diverse offensive player, whereas Gary Trent Jr. is more of strictly a three-point shooter, whereas Norman Powell can shoot threes and can put it on the floor and get to the rim. I think the difference in their contracts, I believe Gary Trent has this year and all of next year still on his rookie deal, and Norm Powell will be I don't know if he's restricted or unrestricted, but I know he becomes a free agent at the end of the season. So you have to think if Portland's making this deal that they're doing it with the thought process that they're going to try to re-sign Norman Powell. And he does fit well with McCollum and Lillard. He gives them some size, a little bit bigger than Gary Trent. What does it do for the Blazers? I think the Blazers, it all hinges on, do they get Nurkic back? And if he's healthy and they can kind of get that core group going, then maybe they have a puncher's chance of upsetting somebody in the playoffs. I don't think they have enough to win three rounds at the level where they can. I just don't think they can win three rounds in the Western Conference to get to the NBA Finals, but they can certainly win one. They could certainly upset somebody good in an unexpected way.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. They could. And I'm a huge Blazer fan. I just don't see it happening. They just can't seem. And I saw Nurkic is back, so that's good. And McCollum's back, but like, I want them to win because of Melo. I just don't know. You know, where are they seated right now, Mike? I'm sure you have it pulled up. They've got to be seated like.
I believe they're six.
Six.
Like, they are currently sitting number six, so they're ahead of the Mavericks by 2.5 games, no, 3.5 games, and they're a half game behind Denver. But I would anticipate Denver is going to keep moving up. The Lakers, who've won two in a row, their schedule gets tough over the next couple games, and they're probably going to, I would think, go on a little bit of a slide here without LeBron and AD, and as the schedule toughens up. And I would anticipate Denver's going to move up. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Portland does pass the Lakers and they get up to that number five seed. It's going to be so interesting in the West, especially if the Lakers keep dropping, that the teams, if AD and LeBron are coming back healthy, the teams scrambling to get out of that spot to play the, you know, whatever it is. If the Lakers end up at six and there's going to be nobody that wants to be number three. Or if the Lakers end up at seven, nobody's going to want to be number two. And so as that kind of starts to shake itself out, it's going to be interesting to see how those teams higher up in the standings end up sort of what kind of chicanery they pull off to try to stay out of that matchup with the Lakers. Although every one of those matchups, potentially in the Western Conference, I think one through seven, I could make a case that anybody can beat anybody else. I think there are a couple teams that can't get all the way through. Like, I'd be surprised. I mean, I think the teams that could get all the way through are the Lakers, Denver. I still think the Clippers probably could if they put it together. I'm not sure mentally they have what it takes, but they certainly have the talent to be able to do that with Kawhi and Paul George. I'm not sure Portland can do it. I'm not sure Phoenix can do it. I'm not sure Utah can do it. Maybe Dallas has an outside chance if Luka just goes completely crazy. Yeah, if he just goes completely crazy. But even that, I don't know that they have enough to win. To win three series. To me, it's going to be the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Nuggets is going to be the Western Conference representative. Is my guess.
Yep. And listen, There's a lot still can happen in the West. They're so close together. Like, other than the Jazz being 3.5 games clear, there's a 3.5 game gap between 2 and 6.
Yep.
So I think the top six are pretty close to being locked in here. I mean, would you say, do you think Dallas has a shot at getting in up there, or do you think?
I think Dallas has a shot because Dallas right now, I guess they're 5 games behind the Lakers, but I still think the Lakers' schedule here, as it toughens up, that they're going to drop. And look, Dallas could go on a nice run. They picked up J.J. Redick at the deadline, who's going to be, I think, a good addition for them. Luka's continued to improve his play game by game, and he's playing better. So I think there's a chance that they could get up and climb into that top six, but certainly I think they're not going to drop below 7. I mean, I think the top 7 – in whatever order they end up being, I think those are the locks. And then 8, 9, 10, who knows? I mean, I think we can probably safely eliminate Oklahoma City and Houston and the Timberwolves. But the Sacramento Kings, winners of 5 in a row, are still in there. The Pelicans with Zion are still in there. And then you have Memphis and Golden State who are currently sitting in there. So.
All right. Any other trades you want to talk about, Mike? I know you mentioned the Redick trade and the Oladipo trade. I think we kind of covered them all. Is there any other trades that I'm missing that were big trades? And you talked about George Hill too. I don't know if there's any other ones that I'm missing.
No, I mean George Hill. I mean, I guess the two other ones that kind of are a little bit involved in what we're talking about here in terms of the playoff race. Does Denver getting JaVale McGee have any impact? I think it could. I mean, you put JaVale McGee in there in the minutes that Jokic has to sit. And regardless, think of what you will of JaVale McGee's time here in Cleveland, but he was a functional player.
He was
a functional player on a title team with Golden State, and he was a functional player on a title team with the Lakers. So could he play 8 minutes a game and not kill you in a playoff run if you're Denver? Sure. I mean, they give up, Isaiah Hartenstein, who wasn't going to play for them, and two future second-round picks, which, again, I don't know about you, but I laugh when I see all these second-round picks being traded around because, I mean, to me, those are borderline – they're borderline worthless.
Yeah, well, I completely agree. Opinion.
I mean, other than for some reason they seem to have value as NBA currency, but they don't have any real
value.
Like
funny money. They're like funny money.
They're totally like funny money. It's like, hey, we'll give you two future seconds. All right, great. But I don't know that those things really turn into much of anything. So I guess that JaVale McGee trade helps Denver by 0.004%. And then the other deal is the Lou Williams for Rajon Rondo, which I do think that if the version of Rajon, if you get playoff Rondo and you're the Clippers, then you've made a huge upgrade when it comes time
and,
for...
And more importantly, Mike, more importantly, Lou Williams is close to Magic City. Gets him close to Magic City, baby.
He can I saw something right before we came on that he was considering retiring instead of reporting to the Hawks, but he did decide eventually to report to the Hawks.
Let's get some chicken wings.
Get some time. But anyway, I think Rondo, if you get the playoff Rondo of last year and you put that guy on the Clippers, he makes a lot of sense for what they need. They need somebody to distribute. They need somebody to have the ball in their hands. They need somebody to knock down open threes. They need somebody who kind of is, I don't want to say a tough guy in the sense of fighting people, but sort of a guy who's tough mentally, which it seems like maybe the Clippers aren't. And so he fits kind of that role. So I like that trade for the Clippers. I think it's pretty much a no-risk trade because Lou Williams has been such a zero in the playoffs that so what? You gave up Lou Williams. Yeah, you're losing him as a regular season player where he's been pretty solid. But ultimately, if you're the Clippers, the regular season is irrelevant, as they proved last year. It only matters what happens in the postseason. And for that, taking a swing at Rondo for a couple of second-round picks and Lou Williams – I'm totally fine with that.
Do you hear that in the background, Mike?
UCLA.
That's my bracket finally being busted. I'm not in contention. I could have been a contender, Mike. Could have been a contender. I think the only way I have a shot now is if it's UCLA Houston. I think it's the only way I have a shot at anything, which is a bummer.
It's so weird. I know you're too young to remember the glory days of University of Houston basketball and Phi Slamma Jamma, when I'm sure you know of Phi Slamma Jamma.
But
seeing them in the moment, and so when I was watching that game yesterday and they're showing highlights of Akeem and Clyde Drexler and Larry Meshaw and Reed Geddes and Alvin Franklin and all these guys that just – Benny Anders. It just – you're watching college basketball and you're like, oh, my God, there's Akeem. Oh, my God, there's Clyde Drexler. And now you're watching these games in 2021. And again, I don't claim to be somebody who's following college basketball closely, but the big names that were a part of college basketball in the 80s and 90s compared to what we have today. And I know the sports landscape is different and all those things, but man, when I saw those highlights of Akeem and Drexler, you're like, God, those guys are playing college basketball in the Final Four. That's like must-see TV. And now it's just not the same, at least not to me anyway. But congratulations to those four Final Four teams, and seeing UCLA in there will be fun. And you know, anyway, nobody's beating Gonzaga in my opinion.
Well, listen,
don't take that to the bank.
I'm rooting now for UCLA in Houston, because I think if UCLA in Houston are in the championship game, I have a chance at second place. I don't think I have a – well, maybe I have a chance with Gonzaga too, but it depends. But
I think it's Baylor. I think it's Baylor Gonzaga in the championship game.
Well, if that's the case, I'm in big trouble then. I don't think – well,
Baylor has good guards. So maybe you give them a chance because their guards can kind of control the game against Gonzaga. And I don't know. I don't see anybody beating Gonzaga, but Baylor, I guess – probably has the best chance. So I'm going to go Baylor Gonzaga in the championship game.
All right. Well, I'm going to go cry my tears tonight, because I would have been one of a few people to have a perfect Final Four bracket, probably. And that doesn't happen anymore. It's sad tears for me. Mr. All right, Clinton.
Last thing on the trade deadline.
Go ahead.
Just give me a one-word answer for this, and we talked about it briefly, but just a one-word answer. Does the Heat getting Victor Oladipo in any way, shape, or form impact who wins the Eastern Conference?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no. All right, we can leave that. We can leave that there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we can end it on that note. All right. So the last thing we need to talk about trade deadline wise is the buyouts, and I think, you know, we got Drummond, he goes to the Lakers, and we've got Aldridge, he goes to the Nets. Those are the two moves. Do either of those moves move a needle for a team? The only thing I can say is, in my opinion, I think the Aldridge trade, the buyout signing, that doesn't do anything for the Nets. The Nets are already, in my opinion, the best team in the East, provided that KD comes back, although I still think they can win the East without KD. I'm going on the record saying that. But I think the Drummond trade could be good for them, and it sounds like Vogel said in this presser today that Drummond is starting tomorrow, and he could be a good carrier over. I'm not saying that he's going to win them lots of games, but he could do something to help them until, you know, one of the two of them are back. Help them, tread water would be what I would say. So I think of the two, that was the bigger one. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, one, Drummond is probably in his prime as an NBA player, whereas LaMarcus Aldridge is clearly past his prime. Could LaMarcus Aldridge play a role for Brooklyn? And when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at it strictly from a playoff standpoint, not from a regular season standpoint. So could LaMarcus Aldridge have an impact on a playoff series for Brooklyn? I guess maybe he could have a game where he gets hot. Defensively, he was terrible this year with San Antonio. So maybe he gets rejuvenated as a member of the Brooklyn Nets and at least becomes functional. But I don't see that signing having a huge impact. Seems like maybe Blake is going to have at least somewhat of an impact, where maybe he does play meaningful minutes for them in playoffs, because he seems like he's kind of figuring it out, what he can and can't do, and is willing to accept a role in order to play on a winning team. So who knows? Maybe it's Blake Griffin who ends up making the difference there. As far as Andre Drummond, I think it's a referendum, like I said last week when we talked about where he was going to go. I think it becomes a referendum on what Andre Drummond is or is not. And can he play a role? Can he just be the guy who rebounds the ball on both ends of the floor? Can he be a guy who sets monster screens and rolls to the basket? Can he be a guy who's okay not getting touches in the post or not being able to have offense run through him, where he's just out there to defend and rebound and roll to the rim and get the defense to collapse so that other things can happen? I think if he's willing to do that, then he makes a big difference. Because look, he's a huge athletic guy who's one of the best rebounders in the league. And if you can just get him to do the things that he's really good at and the other things that he's maybe marginal on, he doesn't have to do on a winning team. Now, he might have to do it until LeBron and AD get back, which by the time those two guys get back, who knows, Lakers fans might be sick of Andre Drummond and watching him post up and do some of the other goofy stuff that he did and we had to watch him do here in Cleveland. But he definitely has strengths as a player. He definitely could help the Lakers, especially you start thinking about, let's say they got to an NBA Finals and they meet up with Embiid. I know that Embiid kind of owns Andre Drummond's headspace, but he's still a big body that you can throw at Embiid as opposed to having AD trying to bang with him in critical moments. So I don't know that it's a huge, huge, oh my gosh, the Lakers went from having a 25% chance to win the title to a 50% chance to win the title, but he certainly helps them to some degree. I don't know how much, but if you get the best version of Andre Drummond, then you're going to get a useful player that can definitely help LA try to repeat as NBA champions. It's just a matter of if he buys in or not. What do you think? Do you think he's going to buy in?
I think he'll buy in at least to start. I mean, he bought in Cleveland to start, right? Would you agree with that statement?
Does there come a point where he looks around and he's like, man, I should be getting the ball. I need more touches. Is that just who he is?
I mean, I think they had to have a real conversation with him, being like, dude.
Right, but you can have a conversation. You can say whatever you want. Like, you can say all the right things. And then when push comes to shove and you're trying to play, you just go back and revert to the player that you've always been. And like we said last week, the argument for Andre Drummond is he's never really been in a winning situation surrounded by other really good players where he could just utilize the things he's good at and not be forced to do things that are a little bit beyond his comfort zone. That's the argument for him. The argument against him is, look, he is who he is. He's a player who has...
I am who empty, I am. Right.
He's empty stats. He grabs a lot of meaningless rebounds because he's just big and athletic. And he's a guy you can't put on the floor in the last 4 minutes of the game because he's 46% as a free throw shooter for his career. So what value is he really going to be? Because when winning time comes, he's not going to be on the floor anyway because you want AD to be your five. So it could end up being meaningless. I don't know. I would lean toward it being meaningless, in all honesty, when it comes to the playoffs. I do think in the regular season that he might help him, but I think that because the Lakers' best lineups are AD at the five. Now, let's say this. What if AD's injuries linger, LeBron comes back, and AD can't play? Then Drummond helps you. I mean, he at least is a functional, good NBA player. And maybe LeBron is able to drag a functional, good NBA player along with him, along with the rest of that roster. I don't know. But if AD and LeBron are both healthy, I think Drummond has very, very little impact on how far they go in the playoffs. Hey, hoopheads. We all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
All right. Well, we've kind of already covered the AD and LeBron injuries. So we're going to talk injuries here in a second. But first, Mike, have you heard about Thrive Fantasy?
I have.
Thrive Fantasy is a new world of fantasy sports gambling. You select 10 prop bets that each carry a point total based on their likelihood of happening. Use promo code HOOPHEADS when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. So, injuries, Mike. We've kind of already talked about it. We've still got Embiid out. McCollum came back. Embiid's out. LaMelo's out for pretty much, I think, it sounds like he's going to be out the rest of the year. They haven't released a timeline on him. Embiid's still out. Obviously, LeBron and AD are still out. We kind of talked about those. Are there any other injuries in the league that we haven't talked about that you want to highlight, or any of those that I mentioned that you would like to briefly discuss before we move on to winners and losers?
I think I just want to touch briefly on the Embiid injury, not so much from the injury itself, but just the fact that Philly has continued to kind of hang in there. I know they've lost two in a row, but they're 7-3 in their last 10, and they are now functionally tied for the lead in the Eastern Conference with Brooklyn after they lost tonight to the Denver Nuggets. But I think the fact that they've been able to sort of stay afloat has been at least a little surprising to me, with as good as Embiid was. And it speaks to, I know we had this argument a couple times on the podcast about whether you'd build around Embiid or build around Simmons, and you had always been an Embiid guy, and I kind of always favored Simmons. And I think probably over the course of time, most people would still come down on the side of Embiid and you, and would look at me like I was a little crazy of going with Simmons over Embiid. But I do think that when Embiid is out, the Sixers play a little bit differently, and Simmons can do a little bit more and show a little bit more of what he's able to do. And he's just a guy who, he's one of those rare guys who can impact the game in so many ways, even when he's not scoring. So that's a little bit surprising to me. I think Philly, as we said earlier, they're going to continue to remain in the top five, or I'm sorry, in the top three in the Eastern Conference, regardless of what happens. They're not falling. None of those three teams is falling out of the top three. So at worst, Philly's going to finish with the third seed. And I would anticipate at some point Embiid's going to be back. And who knows? I think you're probably point well taken that Brooklyn may end up finishing number one in the Eastern Conference. But who knows?
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, Mike, as they say. You know?
We will. We will.
All right. Anything else on the injury front, Mike? Or are we good?
No, I don't think there's anything else. Did I hear you say Nurkic is back?
He came back. That's what I saw. He was on the floor the other night. Yeah.
Okay. So if Nurkic is back and if he can somehow remain healthy, I do think Portland has a decent chance of continuing to move up. Like I said, I think they can probably pass the Lakers. I think they can probably win a series in the Western Conference. They're not winning three series, but Nurkic and Norman Powell make them a legitimate team. They make it more than, hey, Dame's going to go off for 50 a couple nights and win us a couple games. They're now a legitimate team that can win games.
Yep, I agree. No, we'll see what happens. I think I like the Portland a lot. I know I was kind of down on them in the beginning. Earlier in the podcast, I think it was just I was getting ready to be sad about Michigan losing. I'm still dwelling on that. Listen, I hate Michigan, Mike, and I'm still dwelling on it. I apologize, but this is really depressing to me. I really thought, Mike, I thought I was going to win my pool this year, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen unless UCLA.
The basketball fates just didn't go in your favor.
They messed with me, man. They messed with my ego. I think I'm still going to be in first place, but the problem is, my first place bracket has Michigan winning it all. So the only team that has no one has winning it all is Houston. Houston and UCLA, neither people have winning them all. So those two teams need to win, Mike. I'm just going to say that right now. They need to win because if not, I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. So that's
all right.
Fair enough. All right. Anyway, sorry. I apologize. I'm bringing the podcast down talking about the Michigan Wolverines. All right. So winners and losers, Mike. We're going to start in the Eastern Conference. There's not a lot of losing and winning streaks going on. It's lots of one and two game situations. Milwaukee's lost three in a row. Chicago's lost four in a row. Toronto's lost three in a row, which those two teams are at the bottom of the East. And Washington's closing ever so slightly closer. Now, I want to be clear here, Mike. I basically want to sink the Cleveland Cavaliers' ship. But they're only three games out still, so I'm not quite ready to sink their ship. I know you probably are, but when I look at the end of April schedule, that really could talk me into it. Now, granted, that's gonna depend on a lot of things, but I think this is a three-horse race for that 10th spot. I think it's Chicago, Toronto, and I'm willing to put Washington in the conversation because of the insane stat lines of the Russell Westbrook, your favorite NBA player other than James Harden.
Hey, I don't dislike Russ that much.
We talked a lot of crap about him though when he I think it was pre-podcast. We talked a lot of crap about him before
I wouldn't put him in the same category as James Harden. I think James Harden is definitely a better player than Russell Westbrook. But I don't think Westbrook is as bad as ever. He reminds me in a lot of ways of your guy Carmelo in terms of the way his reputation has kind of ebbed and flowed. When he first came in the league, he was kind of underrated and was drafted higher than most people thought he was going to get drafted out of UCLA. Then he comes in and he's fantastic and he just plays so hard and he's just a physical marvel. And then he wins the MVP, and then retroactively after he wins the MVP, people look back on it and are like, why did we give him the MVP? He should have never been the MVP. He was stat chasing, this and that. And I think he became weirdly underappreciated. And there's still flaws in his game. There's still holes in his game. He's not a good shooter. Too many turnovers. I'm not sure he always makes the smartest plays at the end of games and makes good decisions that you would want from a point guard. But just from a sheer physicality standpoint, he's really, really good. But Washington, I would be stunned if Washington creeps their way up into the playoff, into the play-in. I just don't see it. And I don't see the Cavs making it either, but as you said, their schedule down the stretch gives them an opportunity where if they were completely healthy and they decided, hey, we're really going to try to make it. And it's not completely crazy that they could get to the 10 seed. I think the question is kind of like the All-Star game question where people are like, oh, my guy got snubbed. Well, who are you pulling off? So if you look at the Eastern Conference, what team that's in there right now are you pulling? Are you pulling out of the playoffs?
Chicago.
Indiana, I think in. Yeah, Chicago's the one team, but we just talked about it. Chicago made win now trades at the trade deadline, and you know, maybe it takes them a little while to get it together. But I gotta believe that Chicago is going to be better because of the trades that they made, and I mean, none of those other. Look, I kind of laughed that your New York Knicks are going to make it for sure, 100%.
You're buying in now, but, baby.
Well, here's the thing, though. Yes, I think you have to probably buy in, and the Tibbs factor and just how good Julius Randle's been. But the reality is Charlotte's sitting at number four, and they're 7.5 games out of number one. And Toronto is in the 11 spot, and they're 6.5 games behind Charlotte. So there's not a huge gap, and the Bulls are 12, so they're only 4.5 up. So you could go from 4 to 12 in the span of a week with, you know, a 4 or 5 game losing streak. And conversely, you could move up the standings pretty quickly if you win a bunch of games. So I don't see the Cavs or the Wizards getting up there. Really, realistically, I think Toronto is the team that maybe now that the Kyle Lowry non-trade is kind of past them, maybe they circle the wagons and get it figured out and creep back into the playoffs and bump out Chicago. But it just seems weird that, I don't know, it seems weird to call the Knicks and the Hawks locks sitting where they are. I could still see one of those teams going on a long losing streak and falling out of the playoffs depending on how things go. But I don't think the Wizards or Cavs are the teams that take advantage of that. I think Toronto is the only team that would maybe sneak in there. But
okay,
who knows?
All right. Was there any of those teams that I mentioned that like we've already talked about? We felt like we talked about Chicago. We talked about Toronto. The Milwaukee losing 3 in a row. Are you concerned at all, or is it just?
I think Giannis. I know he didn't play in one of those games at least, and I'm not that concerned. I mean, I don't like to see them lose 3 in a row, but the reality is they're locked into one of those top 3 seeds. I think you'd probably prefer to get to the 1 seed if you can, so that you can avoid the 2-3 matchup in the second round. I think that's what you're trying to, that's the value of the number one seed. And so if I was any one of those teams, I would want to be scrambling to get that number one so I could avoid that 2-3 second round matchup. But, you know, whatever. You still got to win games. Let's put it this way. If you're going to win the title, then you're going to have to beat good teams. So I'm not that concerned about it.
Okay, Western Conference. We got lots of winning going on. They must be playing the Eastern Conference. All right. We got Utah has won 6 in a row. You've got the Clippers have won 6 in a row. You've got Denver and Portland have won 3 in a row. You've got the Sacramento Kings, who I know you want to talk about, have won 5 in a row. I feel like we've talked a lot about Denver, I think, and Portland already tonight. And, you know, I don't really have anything to say, to be honest with you. I haven't really been watching a lot of Utah Jazz basketball. I guess they're playing well. I think Jordan Clarkson had a really good game, at least a really good game the other day, because he had like 23 in the first half or something like that. And he played really well in the game. Utah's just doing what Utah's been doing all year. I don't know if I'm trying to poo-poo them or anything, but I want to see them prove it in the playoffs. That's what I'm ready for it now. Let's just prove it in the playoffs. Clippers, we know what they are. They're a regular season team that's going to fall apart in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen because that's what they do. As far as the other team, Sacramento, I'm going to let you discuss Sacramento because we have not talked Sacramento one iota yet tonight. So I'm going to let you take the floor, Mike.
All right, so I'll work from the bottom and talk Sacramento first, and then I'll work my way back up the standings. Sacramento's won 5 in a row. And we talked about it a little bit before we jumped on here that they beat the Cavs twice in that streak, but they also beat 2 Western Conference playoffs teams. So they beat the Warriors, and I believe the other win, let me just look and see. I know they beat the Hawks, and their other win was against the Spurs. So they beat 2 Western Conference playoff teams and 1 Eastern Conference playoff team. So it's not, although they sandwiched in two Cavaliers wins, which you could argue are not that meaningful. The other three wins were against at least good to mediocre teams. And Sacramento has talent. They really do. When you look at Halliburton, when you look at De'Aaron Fox and what he's becoming, Rashawn Holmes has been playing really well at center. They decided to keep Harrison Barnes at the trade deadline, which maybe a month ago, I think most people thought that there was going to be some solid offers on the table for Harrison Barnes. But I think Sacramento wants to win games. And look, I'm not sure if Luke Walton's a good coach or he's not a good coach, but I know this team has, they have enough talent to fight for one of those play-in spots. And I expect them to continue to be in the race for the play-in games all throughout the remainder of this season. I don't expect them to fall back off. I think them and New Orleans are both going to get up there into the standings and be able to compete and try to get, you know, and try to get one of those. They're going to try to get one of those spots. And are you confident that Golden State is going to hold one of those spots? I'm not. Memphis, Jaren Jackson still hasn't played all year. Ja obviously is really good, but I don't know that Memphis, I wouldn't consider them a lock. Is San Antonio a lock in the eighth spot? I don't think so. Sacramento shows what a five-game winning streak can do. I mean, a week ago, we were probably writing them off and saying they had no chance, and now they win five in a row, and they're right there. They're a game out of being in the play-in. So any one of these teams could end up jumping up or falling back down. But I expect New Orleans, because of the Zion factor, and Sacramento, because of their overall talent, I expect them to stay right in the race. I don't think Golden State and Memphis or San Antonio are going to run away with holding on to those playoff spots. So it remains to be seen. I'd like to see Sacramento get in there. I could do without the Spurs, I guess, if I had to remove a team. And obviously we want to see Zion in there just from the sheer spectacle of what that guy is and is going to be. He's just, I mean, I know we're talking Sacramento, but man, Zion is just, he's incredible. Physically, he's so dominant. And his box scores are insane. When you look at it, he scores 34 points and he took 14 shots and he's 12 of 14 from the field. It's just, he's so efficient and he just keeps getting better and better. And he's 20 years old. I still think the only thing that stops him from being one of the best five players in the league is injury and just the weirdness of his body. And can, as he ages, can it continue to take the toll that it's taken? It's weird to say about a 20-year-old kid, but he just has such a strange body for a basketball player. And but he's an incredible, incredible, incredible talent. Top of the Western Conference, in my opinion, Utah, Phoenix. I think those two teams, Utah clearly, I think, is going to finish probably number one, barring something completely unforeseen. They're playing really well. They're locked in. They're a team that I think it matters to them to finish number one. If come summertime there are more fans allowed back in arenas, Utah has a pretty solid home court advantage, and they're going to want to be able to take advantage of that. So I think the one seed is important to them. Phoenix, I don't know. I still don't know what to make of Phoenix. I would not be scared to play the Phoenix Suns if I was any of those other top seven teams. I think that they might be right at the top of my list of teams that I'd want to play if I had to pick a matchup, if I was one of those other teams. This is a case where if they were ever to revamp the playoffs and let the higher seeds pick their opponent, I think a lot of people would probably pick to play the Phoenix Suns compared to some of these other teams, especially if you look at the Lakers getting healthy or what Denver's done or what Portland's done and what Dallas may end up doing as Luka continues to play better and they incorporate J.J. Redick and kind of get it rolling. So I expect Utah to finish number one. I won't be surprised if Phoenix ends up staying at number two. I expect the Lakers now to go on a little bit of a tailspin as their schedule gets a little bit more difficult. They're done playing your Cleveland Cavaliers. So they, you know, they have some more difficult games. They have some more difficult games coming up. Their next set of games is, I'm pulling it up right now.
Just a little more difficult than the Cavs, Mike.
Yeah, so they have Milwaukee, Sacramento, the Clippers, Toronto, Miami, Brooklyn, New York, Charlotte, Boston, Utah, Dallas. So,
yeah, that's a pretty rough stretch right there.
That's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. I mean, they're gonna lose I would guess, a bunch of those games, and they may end up looking at the 7 seed at some point. I wouldn't be surprised. So
yeah. So is anyone else that that we didn't talk about? I mean, as far as the losing streaks in the West, the only one that we really have is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've lost 3 in a row. I don't really want to talk about them.
That's it. No, there's really nothing on the losing side that, you know, the longest losing streak in the league is 3. So not really. Oh, sorry. The Bulls have lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, the Bulls.
who are trying to make a push. But anyway, good luck to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. We'll just have to see how that works out, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else?
Nope. I don't have anything else to report. Other than, I don't know, Mike, what's the status for next week? Because for those of our listeners out there, I'm going to be in Disney World. So I'm not going to be recording an NBA podcast from my hotel room.
Sneak out to your car and do it on your phone. I've done that before.
I don't think my wife will appreciate that, Mike.
She goes to bed at some point, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Then you just sneak out at that point.
I'm going to pass.
You're not going
to
do that? You're not going to do that for the sake of the podcast?
Well, I lined up a great guest to be with you, Mike, if you're recording next week. I lined up a great guest. Our host of the Cavalier Central podcast, Justin Matcham, has agreed to join you and discuss NBA basketball. And maybe the listeners want a different take other than me talking about Michigan losing me money in my bracket.
Well, I'm looking forward to jumping on and getting Justin on here. So, yeah, the plan is to proceed and move forward with next week's pod without Jason, unfortunately. But Justin, I'm sure, will capably fill in and bring a different perspective.
He's going to know who Emmanuel quickly is when you talk about him.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask him about Tremont Waters and his take on Tremont.
Oh, he will know Tremont Waters. I'm guaranteeing it.
And I think I'm going to want to talk some NBA draft prospects maybe with Justin too, because I'm sure he has a lot more knowledge of these college guys than I do. So I think we may end up doing a little bit of that as well. So we'll see. Who knows what the news is going to be over the next week. But at any rate, as we said off the top, please check out the other things that we have going on the Hoopheads Pod Network, all of our NBA shows, our coaching-focused shows, and we have some great episodes coming up on the Hoopheads Pod with Greg White, Danny Young, and last but not least, Dwayne Killings. So we are excited about all those. So be on the lookout for the latest podcast. And to everyone out there, thanks for sticking with us tonight, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.